See what the Lord has in store for us. I see we have a packed house tonight.
Yeah, it's packed. I don't know if your mic is on.
Hello? Hello? Can
anyone? I don't know for sure.
What?
I mean, the green is going, so I would
say
that's
good.
Sound effects.
Wow, look who showed up.
You were having problems with the internet, so
just teach.
Do you want
oh, really?
Is that indicating?
Hello?
Well, hello? I can hear it. No, let it usually.
All right.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay.
Nope. You're welcome.
So,
let me address the folks on my first.
That's cool. Just fine.
Just let everyone know who's watching online. We have this appointment Tuesday with our internet provider. We've had some issues with the internet. And so if it cuts in and out, we're aware of the problem. We're doing the best we can, which means we actually do nothing because we have no control over it. But I don't think the owners will hear that. We have roofing going on across the street. Of course, works they are want to do these days. So just to let, we'll try to make everyone aware of the issues with the internet today, possible issues. And we're on it. Hopefully Tuesday they'll come in and probably give us a new router and such and fix it up.
There you go. It's all yours. I have my...
Glad to see you back amongst the living, John.
Oh, well, thank you. Although I could still be walking dead, we'll see. Well, on the bad parts, okay? Had it here. I'm having some problems myself on my computer. And so I to duck, and all the problems cleared up.
Oh, good.
So, if you don't think there's a conspiracy going on to silence the Word of God, there is.
Oh, absolutely.
There is. And so there are other things going on that I know of. And so hang in there. It can't be too long before the Lord's return.
Amen.
The attack on the Word of God is probably greater today than ever before. And it's like in the Middle East. I don't recall hardly any wars during Trump's presidency. Middle East.
Oh.
And as soon as Biden gets in, he gives money to the other side. War going on. And an old retired Navy man said that Hamas is only getting their missiles from two sources. Russia, China. That ought to say a whole lot. Jennifer.
Last I heard there was a ceasefire. Did it stop?
There was a ceasefire a couple days ago. I don't know. I think it's holding. I don't know.
Yeah.
Each one of those rockets cost $47,000, so think of the money they could have used it to feed their people.
To do good.
Shouldn't we find it fascinating that apparently the Muslims are so pathetic that they can't even actually attack Israel without somebody else giving them the money to do it?
Yeah. Well, guys, seriously, if you study the central banking system since 1913, all the money that has been gathered has been used for a war cause somewhere around the world. The first 6 months' profits was used to set up World War I. On the German side, the 1929 stock crash in 1929, the money was taken from the stocks and sent over to Germany for World War II, all right? Every time you see a dip in the stock market, look for a war, because the money is being swiped off the stock market and sent to a cost to set up the New World Order. to help get all the countries to line up. So at whatever point that they set up the New World Order, all the countries will bow down and say yes. That is what's happening financially. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's where you see the wealth of our country has been used to subdue other countries to bring them in line with the New World Order. So that is what's happening. Yes, and of course, the other name for the New World Order is Fourth Reich. Fourth Reich. Study the Reichs, and you'll understand why the pilgrims left in 1620, because they were leaving the First Reich. They had pretty good sense at that time to leave. And so we've been blessed for the last 400 years. Well, we still have the privilege today to teach you out of the book of Romans. So let's turn to chapter 15 and let's read verses 17 through 19.
Come on in.
All right, all right.
Come on in.
Everybody's here.
Well, now they are.
Yep.
What time is
it? Yeah, you're just a couple minutes. You're fine.
Yeah, you're in for a treat.
I couldn't bring my Bible because it's too heavy.
Oh, we have one for you.
You can just listen along or pick up one.
Yeah, they're readily available.
We're in Romans. Here, I'll give you this one. Romans 15, verse 17.
Right.
We're just getting started.
Right. Okay, I'll do verse 16. You guys do 17. I'll do 18 or 19. Wait a minute.
We were starting at 17.
Start with 17. I'll start at 17. You do 18. I'll do 19.
Okay.
I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God.
For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath thought wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed.
Through many signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That's a big word on a Sunday morning for me.
Drink some of that coffee, John.
Oh, yes, there we go. I'll be sipping that real quick here. Yeah. All right. So if you notice in verse 14, Paul uses the word glory. The glory here has basically two definitions. One means to boast, and the other one means to rejoice. And as we study this text, we'll find out that both of them apply fairly well. First, let's take a look at what the word glory itself is defined as in Scripture. That is fascinating. Let's take a look at John chapter 11. Verses 39 to 44.
John 11, 39 to
34. Yes. 39, if someone could do that in a real loud voice. 39 to 44.
I got it.
Okay.
Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." How far?
44.
"And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go."
How about that?
That's glory, though.
The glory of God. Notice in verse 40, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And what is the glory of God? Taking a dead sinner and raising him again from the dead. That is God's glory. Every single time a person accepts and receives Christ, glory to God, another person is going to be resurrected from the dead. That's his joy. Every time you and I go out and take the gospel of Christ and share it with one other person, that is God's glory for that other person to hear the word of God and hopefully receive Christ and be able to join us on that last day. That is the glory of God. And that is Doug. Beware of Doug. Doug has entered the building. Let there be silence. So, now that we have a glory defined, let's take a look at I shared with you that the word glory comes from the word boast. It comes from the word rejoice. Let's take a look at Ephesians 2:9, which you guys are familiar. Who has Ephesians 2:9? Okay, Jill.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yes, not of works, lest any man should boast. We see with the word glory, to glory in something or to boast in something, is connected with works. Every one of us, if we could look at the things we've done in life, there's some things we could boast about. Well, look what I've done. People like to boast on making it to the top of Mount Everest. That's quite an accomplishment. There are some pastors I know that like to boast on the fact that they have four or five buildings they have built during the time of their pastorate. All right? There are guys in the race car business, and then Indianapolis 500, boasting how fast they can go. But boasting is totally connected with works, as we see in Ephesians 2:9. Now, let's take a look at, you'll see the connection here, Ezekiel 44:18. Who has Ezekiel 44:18?
They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat.
Okay, we're talking about the priests going into the holy place or the Holy of Holies. They were supposed to wear linen, which is cotton. And the reason they were supposed to wear cotton is because when you wear cotton, you don't sweat. And sweat in Scripture is a picture of work. And we can see that as part of the curse in Genesis 3:19. Who has Genesis 3:19?
I can't find that fast enough.
I will.
I've got it. 3:19? All right. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
All right. Sweat is... Yes.
Linen is actually made out of flax.
Flax?
It's not made out of cotton. Because linen is linen and cotton is cotton. I was wondering about that. It says it's a textile made from the fibers of the flax plant.
Oh, that's in your notes?
It breathes.
No, it's in the a definition of what linen is. We have linen today.
Oh, true.
You're saying they had cotton back then and they didn't have flax?
Okay, well, could
but flax is, linen, if you've ever had a linen.
Flax was probably more common.
Yeah, linen is a very cool fabric.
And it breathes.
It breathes. It's probably better than cotton.
It's more expensive, far more expensive,
especially in swine.
Oh, you would know. You know about linen.
If something is linen, it's like $2 more to clean.
Interesting. I might tell you.
I was just talking about the Southern priest.
NIV breeze.
So anyway, go ahead. I'm
No, you're correct. You are correct. You are correct. My fault. I confess. Okay, are we okay? So at any rate, though, as far as the priests, when they had to go in there, they were not to wear anything that was going to cause sweat, which is a picture of the curse, which is a picture of works. Not of works.
Right.
Boasting. Look what I did. So when we go back to Book of Romans, verse 17, 15, verse 17, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, those things which pertain to God. Is there a certain thing I could boast about?
Well, you know, what just happened is a good example. We always try to remind everybody that neither John nor I nor the Pope are infallible.
Correct.
And so
absolutely.
That's why when we get up and preach, we're not trying to impress you with John or Greg. We're trying to impress you with the infallible book. And that's why we're all supposed to be Bereans, because John and I will make mistakes. Of course, I make far fewer.
Yeah, right.
But,
well,
you know, Chuck called me out a couple weeks ago. He didn't call me out. I don't want to make it sound like he's trying to be mean or anything. But I was kind of confusing in the way I was teaching on the words equality and equity. And I found that that's a common confusion out there. So the point that I was trying to make, I'll repeat here, but I just tried to emphasize the point rather than trying to clear up the confusion that seems to be global on those words. But, you know,
his question was a good one.
And Paul himself wasn't infallible. The only time Paul demonstrated any infallibility is when he was writing these specific inspired books.
Right.
We know he wrote a third epistle to the Corinthians that isn't in our Bible. He wrote an epistle to the Laodiceans that isn't in the Bible. And he probably wrote a lot of other letters that were Paul's letters.
Yeah.
But these letters, even though they'll say the epistle of Paul, it came through that human instrument. That's when he's infallible and when God was writing through him. And so I just want to remind everybody, you're just writing along what you just said, is that as pastors and preachers, when you start glorifying the man, you're way off base.
Yeah. Well,
when we boast in God,
I do have another confession then.
Uh-oh.
The reason I said cotton is because a famous radio preacher, that was my pastor for 10 years, used the word cotton.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. And so you have to remember, in teaching the Word of God, okay, and you're out there, I try as much as possible to document everything that is taught here, compare scripture, and study. I even looked up where that one city I can't name, I found out where that's located at, which is fascinating. All right?
Lyricum.
Right. But.
Lyric. I heard him downstairs.
Oh, lyric, like lyrics to a song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will tell you this.
Bad lyrics.
You know, as far as sitting in the pulpit, and I think one said, I can't tell you, I've had a whole lot of pastors, maybe five. I'll have to recount. But they stand up here and they threaten you. If you don't believe what they said from the pulpit, you're dead meat and you're out.
You're what?
Yeah.
You're buzzard meat.
Yeah. You're not going to serve on any committees. You're not going to serve in any of the teaching things. They won't even let you flip over the hot dogs, you know, when they have cookouts. You are... That's it. If you dare question a single thing they say, all right, or even doctrine, and Jill and I will tell you, that I won't mention any names, but the one guy said, someone's going to have to change, and it won't be me. It won't be me. Which means he's not going to study it and come to the knowledge of the truth. He's going to be the truth, and you have to go by what he says. So, that is part of my teaching that I took for granted, and now I know it's flax, and now I know I don't have to repent anymore.
It's actually interesting if you start to do the study of flax and linen. I never
yeah.
actually made that mental connection, so that's kind of interesting.
But, you know, I've had people tell me, and we have a couple people who have heard people tell me, I'd say it's Greg's Way of the Highway here. It's, and I, you know what? Absolutely true. Because my way is that if it's something, first of all, no other Bible than the King James.
Amen.
That way or the highway. And there are fundamental doctrines.
Yep.
We're not going to waver on the virgin birth and the
Amen.
Creation and all this. And then there are other doctrines that we wouldn't call fundamental. Historically, Christians have called fundamental, but we exist for a reason, and one of those is we believe Jesus could come at any moment. We believe
in the
pre-trib rapture, and I'm not going to put up with anybody coming in and trying to undermine those doctrines.
Amen.
So,
amen.
And if they want to say that's Greg's Way or the Highway, fine, but it's Bible Believers Fellowship. We believe in things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now,
the Bible.
I've told people, you know, you can disagree. People disagree on whether the angels had sex with women and or it was just the godly Lord of Seth, which I think is ridiculous, but you can disagree.
Correct.
You know, and there are other things that I've had people just disagree on, and no sweat off my nose. I mean,
right.
It's not Greg's Way or the Highway on those issues, but on the major ones it is.
Okay. Yeah, and it has to be.
Yeah, I think we all feel the same way, and that's why we
split
but I don't ever want anybody running around saying, well, my preacher believes or my preacher thinks, because who cares?
Yeah.
What we should be saying is only if you've studied your Bible, then you should say the Bible says.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's what my family will tell you over and over and over. Very rarely do I use names except as a reference point to remind them of something.
That's honest also to give credit.
Yeah, I don't blame it because Chick says it. I don't blame it, and I can name you a whole bunch of other guys. But I can tell you what I've gleaned off them that I know is true. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the evidence out of their own lives that it's true. Mm-hmm. When I get to fundamental newspapers or magazines, and they're attacking other people trying to win other souls to Christ, at that point, that's what I pitch them.
Attacking over stupid stuff.
Yeah, because Christ said if they're not
against
us, then they're for us.
Amen.
You know, and that's not only in New Testament, that's also found in the Old Testament with Moses and his gang. Because they came to Moses and said, hey, these guys are teaching such and such. And he says, well, if they're not against us, they're for us. You know, leave them alone. You know, they're spreading the word. That's the way it should be.
Amen.
So, now they've got that cleared up. Let's take a look at Philippians. Chapter 2, verses 5-8. 5-8.
I think I got that.
All right, Doug.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of a God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reproach and took upon him the form of a servant and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
Amen. So if you take a look in those, as far as boasting, Christ very easily during his time frame could have boasted. He could have said to the Pharisees, Sadducees, hey, I'll open this guy's eyes out. How about you? Want to have a contest? You know? Or I helped this guy's lame leg. I fixed it. How about you? You know, he could have made it a contest back and forth saying, you guys don't know anything. The real thing is here. The real Coke. You know? But he says in there he made no reputation. He was obedient unto what?
Death.
The cross. Unto death. And what we're aiming for here that I perceive out of the scriptures from Romans chapter 15, verses 17, 18, and 19 is that of everything Paul could have gloried in, everything that he could have boasted about, I mean, he's trying to tell you that's not the way to go. The main way to go is preaching the gospel of Christ. That is it, period. And any one of you here has the potential and ability
to teach and preach the gospel of Christ wherever you go. Mm-hmm. It's not a pastoral thing up in here. It is not for the professionals that come out of the Bible colleges that have all the PhD and BBA and whatever else is behind their names. That has nothing to do with it. It is the teaching and the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Let's take a look at when it says in there to glory, to rejoice. Galatians 6:14. Who's got Galatians 6:14?
I'll look for it.
Yep.
God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
How about that? But God forbid that I should glory, that I should rejoice or boast in anything else except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you notice, there are three crosses there. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the cross where the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. Three crosses, all connected with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's got 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 24?
Chapter 1, 17 to 24.
Yes.
Say it one more time. What was it?
First Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, okay. 17 to 24.
I'm in 1 Corinthians. All right, one.
What gen were you?
Forgive me, the verses one more time.
17 to 24.
17 to 24. Good. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
How about that? Again, connected with the gospel. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the cross. That is what Paul is aiming at here. We've already done the study, but we need to go through Romans 5, 1 through 11. Every time I read through that, I think I'm reading about a nut, but I like it.
I'm reading about a nut.
Oh, yeah. I can read that if you guys like.
Go ahead.
Okay, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Remember what we shared to you about what the definition of the glory of God is. God raising people from the dead, raising sinners to faith in Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, guys, that has got to be one of the most difficult verses of Scripture to perform. Because almost every Christian I've come across that has tribulation is, woe is me. And Paul probably started off that way in his Christian walk, woe is me. And then he finally got the clue of what was happening. And so he goes, we glory, we rejoice in tribulations also. knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So keep this as a reminder of every tribulation you may go through, you're going to get a chance to know the real love of God. Because he's going with you through the same tribulation, and you're going to, there's light at the end of the tunnel when you're with the Lord. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, the gospel. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. How about that? Again, it's all connected with the scripture. It's all connected with the gospel of Christ. And the rejoicing through anything you're going through is what? I'm accepted in Christ. His blood made the payment for my sins. That is what we're to rejoice in, not in all these other things that are going around. Let's take a look at, I call this Paul's life verse, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23-24. If Paul had any life verse, this is what I think would have been his.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
How about that?
Amen.
Those are exactly what the scriptures are aiming at. What Paul is saying here. Paul's saying, I can rejoice in anything. I could boast in anything. But what I'm going to rejoice in is what Christ did for me on the cross. That is the power. Jennifer.
All right. So we've read a lot of verses that talk about the wise and wisdom.
Yes.
Does the Bible differentiate between wise and smart?
Why would it?
Yes. Well, so the foolishness of men, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That passage.
But, like, the Bible doesn't
use the word smart.
There's
a difference between wisdom and knowledge.
Wisdom and knowledge.
You can, wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Applied knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, there are passages.
I don't think smart.
So, if I have a broken car, I'm not taking it to the baker. He has no clue what to do with the car. I'm going to take it to a car mechanic. Because he has the knowledge and the wisdom how to repair it and make it right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the part that would make him dumb is if he heard the gospel and did not get saved. This guy could be the greatest car repairman on the entire planet. And if he doesn't get saved, he's now become the dumbest. Okay? Johnny.
I think I can find an interesting point in there. Why I do seem to recall God doesn't usually talk about smart or stupid. I think it's because we take those words to be talking about, you know, your actual intelligence level, like your actual ability to understand.
Right.
But God usually talks about being either wise or foolish. And that's because wise doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It's
spiritual.
Yeah, if you have the knowledge that God gave you and you use it properly, the right way, then you are wise. But if you have the same knowledge and make the wrong choice going towards sin, then you're a fool.
Correct.
So in other words, it's not about whether you're smart or stupid, it's about
will you make the right choice?
The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
Yes.
You
know. I just want to point out, and John says this is Paul's life verse. He actually quotes it twice. 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:17, that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So
amen.
Both of the letters we have that he wrote to Corinth, he quoted that verse.
Amen.
Can you quickly say those one more time?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 1:31 and
2 Corinthians 10:17.
Neat.
Yeah, okay. Doug, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I remember back when I was in school where some of these kids would be straight-A students and then they didn't have enough horse sense to tie their shoes.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and that's
true.
When I quoted Johnny, was Proverbs 12:20. Wait a second.
That's a book of
that's Proverbs 15:2.
Okay.
The tongue of the wise useth knowledge right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
Yeah. Now, if you'll take a look at verse 24 again. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. That's John 3:16, guys. Judgment, that's the cross. And righteousness, as we've talked before in our Roman studies, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us.
Amen.
All three of those, again, has to do with the death, burial, and resurrection to Christ. Okay, let's take a look at verses 18 and 19. Yeah, Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. Okay. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. In other words, anything done by his own hands, he's not even going to talk about it. Not even going to mention it. But then he says here, to make the Gentiles obedient, by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I fully preach the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Just so you know where this city is at, if you take on a map, look on a world map, look at the boot, look at the hill on the boot of Italy, swing it up till it hits Greece, and that's where that place is at. So he preached the gospel from Jerusalem, as far as the book of Romans, from there up to that part of Greece. That's as far as he went at that point. Now, he says here, to make the Gentiles obedient. Paul is saying, I had nothing to do with make them obedient. That's the work of God. And we find that in Romans chapter 1, 4 through 8. We probably don't need to go through all four, but who's 4 through 8.
And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
How about that? He preached the gospel, and God put the faith in the heart of those people to be obedient. The next phrase, by word and deed. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. By word and deed. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. All right, I'll read this one. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul is saying here, by word and deeds. It didn't come from me, guys. It came from the preaching of the gospel of Christ. When you heard the word of God, you knew that was God and not me, Paul, speaking.
That was God himself. The next phrase, through mighty signs and wonders. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. Anyone have that one?
I'll get it.
All right, Chuck.
All right. 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
How about that? When we go through the book of Acts, look at what Paul did at that time. He got bit by a serpent, and he didn't die from it. On top of it, the people on the island were sick, and he helped them to overcome their sickness. And he's saying the mighty signs and wonders. It was not him. It was not his special power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. I see that peace symbol. All right? The next phrase, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. Who's got Acts 1:8? And then we'll have one more verse.
Jill raised your hand.
Oh, Jill, go ahead, please.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
How about that? If you'll notice in one of the stories in Acts, this one guy came up to Peter and said, give me this power so I can give it to other people. And the apostle Peter rebuked him big time. Mm-hmm. All right? I don't have any special power. I don't have a wand I can wave over you guys and say, believe, have faith. Every bit of that is the work of God through the gospel being preached and presented. It only comes from him. Paul is saying, it's not me, it's him. And then last of all, Paul says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Let's take a look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 and 21, and then we can...
I can do that one.
Okay. Yeah, 20 and 21.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
How about that? You know, again, the first part of the verse, I am crucified with Christ. If you guys want to see the power of God demonstrated in your life, it comes from preaching the gospel of Christ to your friends, your neighbors, your family. And most of us are intimidated by all three. But at some point, give it a shot and see what God does with it. The last part of the verse said, do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's where all the boasting and everything else comes in. Look what I did. And guys, I did nothing. It's the work of the Lord, because I obeyed the Lord, and here's what he did. All right? Whenever you and I take a step of faith and trust the Lord, it opens up the door for him to do something. And that is what all these verses has to deal with. I got one final verse, 1 Corinthians 15:31, which I'll read, and then we'll close. 15:31. This was Paul's daily verse. I protest by you rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice their rejoicing is boasting. He says, I die daily. Every day I pick up my cross. I say, Lord, what's on your agenda today? What do you want me to do? And then he would follow the Lord. And the rest of it, you see the epistles in the book of Acts of what the Lord did in Paul's life. And what God did in his life, he can do in yours if you'll stay right on target with the gospel of Christ. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to be together. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for the tremendous sacrifice you did on the cross for us, Lord. And we thank you for the imputation of your righteousness so that we can walk before you in love and without blame. And we just pray this morning, Lord, work in each and every heart and do your will in each of our lives and help us all to take that brave step of faith and share the gospel with somebody else, even though we may be rejected and attacked. And help us to have that step of faith and part the waters, Lord, as the children of Israel stepped into the river to go across into Jordan. The moment they were ankle deep, then you parted the waters. Help us to get ankle deep in your word so we can see you split the waters and do something great and glorious before you return. We ask your choice blessings on the upcoming service. And Lord, thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. And thank you so much for the gospel and caring for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, onliners, see you on a bit.